friends, and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, June the 28th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. And I am grateful that you are with me once again as we are going to break open God's Word this weekend. We're going to take a look at the first reading in the Gospel for the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Again, we are just moving through. Get used to it, right? We are going to be moving through Ordinary Time for quite a long time. And we're going to hear actually two stories. It's a longer Gospel, so I'm going to jump right in. Longer Gospel that is going to be two very familiar stories that I think, and if I do a good job, hopefully you'll think at the end too, that point to the same place. But the foundation is going to come from the first reading. So listen well, open yourself well to see what it is that God has for us. Again, however it is that you open yourself to that Spirit of God, invite you to do that at this time before we dive in. For those who like to follow along, here's what we're going to hear. We're going to hear out of the Book of Wisdom, chapter 1, and we're going to jump around a little bit. Chapter 1, verses 13 to 15. Then we're going to jump to chapter 2, verses 23 to 24. That's in the Book of Wisdom. Then in the Gospel of Mark, we're going to hear Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. Again, kind of longer. So let's open ourselves and let's listen to God's Word together. A reading from the Book of Wisdom. God did not make death, nor does God rejoice in the destruction of the living. For he fashioned all things that they might have being, and the creatures of the world are wholesome, and there is not a destructive drug among them, nor any domain of the netherworld on earth, for justice is undying. For God formed humanity to be imperishable. The image of his own nature God made them. But by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who belong to his company experience it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, as I always say, my friends, if there was something within that that spoke directly to you, you stay with that. Allow the Spirit of God to speak to you in and through the word that you have just heard and through whatever is going on within you, whatever idea or image or word or thought came to mind. Let's break open the Gospel. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please, come lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." Jesus went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhage for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you asked, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat. My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So, what are we hearing here? Let's start with the foundation, shall we? Which, of course, is that reading from Wisdom. Now, the Book of Wisdom, just a heads up, sometimes called the Wisdom of Solomon, appropriately enough, it's part of the wisdom literature of the Jewish Hebrew scriptures. But was not written, I mean, you're not going to get many scholars who are going to say it was written by Solomon. Most will say it was written actually shorter to the time of Jesus. So Solomon would have lived maybe 700 to 800 years before Jesus, let's say 800. But the Wisdom of Solomon was probably written 100 to 150 years maybe before the time of Jesus. Again, wisdom comes later in life, right? And if we look at the Jewish scriptures as that journey through life, wisdom only comes mostly toward the end, right? And of their canon. And so this was written closer to the time of Jesus, where the idea of resurrection, the idea of an afterlife, was not common knowledge or common belief at the time, but was being discussed. And some people did believe it, some people didn't. Even at the time of Jesus, you're going to get the difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees believing that there was an afterlife, the Sadducees believing there was not. So the Book of Wisdom is entering into that conversation. And the first line is so good, right? And again, I'd say this is the foundation. This is the foundation of what we're going to interpret, the lens through which we will interpret the gospel. God did not make death, nor does God rejoice in the destruction of the living. For he fashioned all things that they might have being. And then it goes on to talk about how all of creation is good and contains this idea, by the way. Not just humanity contains this image of being made good. All of creation does. And later it even talks about all of creation containing the Spirit of God. That's a reflection for another day. God formed humanity to be imperishable. That's later in the reading. Okay. So what we're hearing today, at least what I want to talk about, I think it's easy, my friends, to look around the world and see death as the last word. Death is common. Death is everywhere. I mean, it's hard to argue that, right? Death and destruction and decay, things fall apart. that that's where all this is leading, and that has the final word. And what the Book of Wisdom and certainly the Gospels would tell us would be, no, no, that's not it. That death is not the common element. Death is not the regular element. Life is. Because God did not make death, nor does God rejoice in destruction or decay or death. God did not form humanity or creation to be, or excuse me, God did form humanity to be imperishable. So I would argue, my friends, that as we, yes, we are surrounded by it. We're surrounded by decay. We're surrounded by things falling apart, by death, the deaths of our loved ones, the deaths of our hopes and dreams, the deaths of whatever is going on in our life, maybe relationships, all those things. It is everywhere. We see it and we know it. And I'm not trying to be naive, but what wisdom reminds us is, but that is not the regular element. I just love that term. It is not what was made. In fact, it is the irregular element. Life is the regular element. You know, so often we've asked the question, I'm sure you've heard it. I know I've heard it. Maybe I've even said it. You know, that why do we talk about it? Why is the news all bad? When you turn on the 10 o'clock news, it's all this stuff that's going wrong. And I would argue, I think by our very innate nature, we know that life and goodness are the regular element, not death and destruction. And that is why that is news, because it is irregular. It is not what we are made for and what creation is made for and about. And so therefore, it is news when something irregular happens. But the regular, which is the good, that is commonplace. And by the way, we see it too. I want to focus on the last line, and then I want to point us to the gospel. But by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who belong to his company experience it. Now, we all experience death. Does that mean we all belong to the company of the devil? And again, I'm not wise enough to have the final answer on this, but I would say clearly the writer of the Book of Wisdom here is speaking not in literal terms, but in figurative terms, right? That death here is not an ending of our life or something. Because if that's the case, we all of humanity, all of creation would belong to that company. And none of us want to be in that company. And so clearly they're using figurative language. The death is, I'm going to say, based on the gospel that it's paired with, that death is a lack of faith. That death is a lack of faith. Because I think if we learn anything in our gospel, we learn that faith is essential, because Jesus talks about it twice. Okay, so let's go to the gospel. We hear two stories of women, one being 12 years old, one being an older woman, who has carried something with her for 12 years. I don't understand the commonality of 12. If you do, please let me know. Because the woman who is having the blood flow, and I'm sure it's probably, you know, menstruation issues that simply don't end. She's constantly having a blood flow for 12 years. And the daughter of Jairus being 12 years old, I am sure that is there for a reason. I am sure it escapes me. And so, again, all these numbers mean something. But I can't give you the where it's pointing. But I do think maybe, and maybe this is as simple as it is, there's a tie between these two. And I would say, brothers and sisters, that tie is they are both corpses. They are both dead. One just happens to be living dead. So what does that mean? The woman who is experiencing the blood flow effectively is dead to everyone around her. If she is married, okay, remember, when one has is experiencing blood or has touched blood, which of course the woman would be all the time, they are unclean in a way similar to a leper. But a leper can at least go with a leper colony and be with others. A woman who is experiencing blood flow can be around no one. No one can touch another person who is unclean. And by this woman experiencing blood flow, she is unclean. And so effectively, she's a living corpse. She could not be around her husband. If she's married, she could not be around children. If she has children, she cannot be around any extended family. She cannot be around anyone. She is isolated and alone and effectively, as I said, a corpse. She is living dead. But here again is the extent of her desperation. You know, there's a line in a Springsteen song that I love, a song off of Devils and Dust that you know, the album, that it really didn't get a lot of play. But it says, you know, sometimes we can't tell our courage from our desperation. And I would suspect that's exactly where this woman is. That, you know, she's going into the crowd, okay? She knows she cannot be in a crowd, but here she is going in the midst of everyone. And she knows she's going to touch all kinds of people. The minute she's recognized, bad things are going to happen. She's not just going to be forced out. She's going to be, I suspect, would be ostracized further, but punished. I don't know what bad things would happen, but she's willing to say, I don't care. I'm going to go through this crowd shoulder to shoulder. I'm going to be touching all kinds of people just so I can get and touch the hem of his cloak. And Jesus says here at the end, when he realizes that power has gone out of him, you know, there's that whole idea. It's wonderful. And he says to her, daughter, your faith has saved you. Maybe it was her faith in Jesus that caused her to go through all those people. Maybe it was her desperation because she had no money left after 12 years. And maybe it was her courage. And I, you know what? It's all probably mixed in there. Just like it's all probably mixed in you and it's mixed in me. But Jesus looked at her after she came forward and confessed everything. And he says to her, it was your faith that kept you alive. It was your faith that saved you. Not just your faith that helped heal you and cured you, but it was your faith in me that brought you out of the shadows and out of the tomb to this place where you could connect with me and find healing. Do you see that difference? It was her faith that moved her even to that space where they could commune. Faith was the driving element that allowed her to continue. Okay, so let's keep going. So then Jesus goes to the house of Jairus, and it only takes James, Peter, and John up there, and experiences the people who are wailing in the house. And they are making a commotion, and Jesus goes in and says, why the commotion? The child is not dead, but asleep. Put that one out, or hold on to that. Hold on to that. They ridicule him. He throws them all out because he doesn't need that, which is a lack of faith in the house. And he takes simply the mother and the father, goes in with Peter, James, and John, touches the hand of the girl and says, Talitha cum, I say to you, little girl, arise, arise. And she gets up, and life fills her. Okay, thank you. I want to go to the part where I'm connecting it. So, after the woman who has been healed of the blood flow, the messengers arrive and say the daughter is dead. And Jesus disregards the message. He just looks at Jairus and says, do not be afraid. Just have faith. Keep walking forward with possibility. Keep walking forward with hope. Even though your eyes don't see it, keep walking forward with the idea that something new can happen. Just like the woman did. She walked forward with yes, probably desperation, probably courage, but walked forward with the idea that something new can happen. And he says now to Jairus, well, now you get to walk through with that. And he does, and it comes to the point where this little girl does arise. Brothers and sisters, I guess what I would argue here, remember how I said that last line has got to be figurative at some level in wisdom, where it says, you know, they who belong to the company of the devil are the ones that experience death. And I would argue that any of those in our world today that see death as the last word, that see hopelessness, destruction, and decay as having the final word. I don't know whose company they belong to, but I don't think they belong to the company of Jesus Christ and the good news. I think they belong to the company who is despairing and who aren't able to see faith or hope in a God or what possibilities lie around them. And I think what our God says to them is, yes, death is a reality. We see it in Jairus. We see it in the woman. But it doesn't have the last word. Life does. Why? Because as wisdom says, God did not make death. He created us, creation, to be imperishable. And death is not the regular element. It is the irregular element. Life is the regular element. And I go back to that little girl, you know, that she's not dead, only sleeping. When we experience deaths in our life, deaths of abilities, deaths of ideas or visions, deaths of you know, relationships, whatever deaths that is, I think Jesus looks at us and says that death, it's not dead, that relationship, whatever's going on, only sleeping. It is temporary because life has the last word, not death. And we may have to go through that, right? We may have to spend time in that space, 12 years in that blood flow or in that space of being isolated or harmed or hurting or struggling or whatever. But it is not where it ends. I don't know what you're going through, but I think these words are words of hope for us. That Jesus looks at us and says, it's not dead. Whatever's going on, death is irregular. I didn't make creation for it. Life is regular. We just simply need to have trust and faith mixed in with everything else that's going on, okay? Within confusion and hope and fear and all that stuff. Have faith that God can do something new, even if we are not able to see it. And keep holding on to that. And maybe 12 days from now, 12 weeks from now, 12 months from now, 12 years from now, maybe we will see that other side. But it's coming. Because death is not the regular element. Life is. Okay, my friends, let's pray. And so we begin, as we begin all things, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The fourth joyful mystery, the presentation at the temple. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, bless you all. Have a wonderful week ahead. I wish you every good. Be well, and God's peace.